the popcorn can't be beat.
Oh, it's also true. Welcome in. It's Monday, downtown, 5 o'clock hour, and that means time for us to check in with our friend Alan Adams for Pass the Popcorn. Hello, Mr. Adams.
Hello, sir. How are
you? Jesus, you take a Monday off right? And the place it's goes
like,
to hell.
Like, we were just talking, and it was just like, it has been... Because the last time we spoke was the Monday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And, as it turns out, a lot of stuff's been going on.
Yeah, heading into what teach me to be cocky, which I boldly said was my favorite week of the year. And, in that week, my dog died and they shut the stations down. No longer my favorite week of the year.
Maybe pick a different time stretch for a little while.
I'm just not going to tell anybody what my favorite is because apparently there's a price to pay for that.
Yeah, no, it was a lot, but you're in my thoughts. It seems you're doing okay.
We're doing fine. A lot of support from people. We appreciate that. How was your trip? Now, you were last week in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah. I was a presenter at a conference in a higher ed conference in Philadelphia.
Look at you.
I know. it was fun. It was interesting. I'd never been to one of these before. And so I didn't really have any context. Some lovely people. I could maybe do without the buzzwords. A lot of buzzwords.
Oh, I'm sure.
A lot of jargon. For instance, I don't know if you've heard about this thing, this AI thing.
Oh, is that a thing? I've heard talk of it.
It's
not Allen Iverson,
it
right?
It's not. You would think in Philly, but no, it was. But it was just literally like 3 out of every 4 presentations. It was just like AI, and Sheridan has done a lot of work with that stuff, mm-hmm. including in helping to build the policy at the university, and so I know a little bit. And it turns out a little bit is maybe more than some of these people might know.
Including the presenters?
Yeah. So there was some of that. But no, like I said, perfectly lovely people. Like I felt like I was able to glean some valuable ideas and information. Did not see a lick of Philadelphia. Like it was like my hotel was less than a block from the conference hotel. So that stretch in between I got very familiar with.
That's it, yeah.
But it was just like... you do these things and the last presentation slot is over at 5. I'll just get out and I'll see the city at night. I finish and I would be like, I'm going to eat dinner. I'm going to go lie down.
Yeah.
And then I will get up in the morning and I will do this again because it's literally like, I just didn't have it in me. And I'll be real. Like I'm not a particularly good solo traveler. And the real fun stuff, it's like, well, I don't want to do that. Like,
right.
I don't want to do that by myself.
When you travel solo, I don't do it a lot, but when I do, I just end up anchoring myself in the hotel.
Yep. There was a very nice restaurant in my hotel, with a very well appointed bar. In fact, I actually wound up getting a free drink one night because I swear to God it came up in context, but I was able to reveal the fact that I was actually on Jeopardy. That combined with because I'm like, oh yeah, I was on Jeopardy, I did all that, and they're like, oh, that's great. And then this one woman is like, what was your anecdote? So I got to share that as well. And between the two, the bartender was like, yeah, you're not paying for any of those.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that was pretty good.
There you go.
The
gift that keeps on giving,
right? So it was, like I said, it was a very positive experience. I'm glad I did it. I was really, really glad to be home.
How bad? How many days were you there?
I flew out on Monday morning, and I got back Thursday evening.
Oh wow, that's a long time away.
It was. Sheridan and I were talking. It might be the longest we've been like in separate places since we got married.
Wow.
It's certainly among the longest, if not the longest. So.
Whew.
Yeah, it was just I'd get back and I'd just pace around in my hotel room and then I'd lie down and watch something I've already watched and fall asleep
and text Sheridan.
Yep,
there you go.
Yep, a lot of that.
Well, we're glad you're here for the home stretch. Let's see, the 9th, 16th, 23rd, potentially 3 more appearances after this.
Yeah, my plan is to now that there's an end date, I'm not going to miss anymore.
Well, yeah, again, you've been on the show. more than, and I say guest, you're not really a guest. You're part of the downtown fabric here, but more appearances than anybody else through all these years.
Yes, well, and as it should be, because I am awesome.
I know we talk movies here on Mondays, but there wasn't anything for you to see. You were too busy the road.
I was exhausted, and you know, I didn't get out to the theaters. Although I did want to take one quick second to I don't know if you've had if you all have had a chance to get out to see A Christmas Carol at Penobscot Theater.
I think we're going this coming weekend.
But I just want to just put this out into the universe. It's excellent.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Like it was really fun. And again, like I know last year's production was kind of polarizing.
Yep.
I did not like I enjoyed it more than I think a lot of people did. But man, this felt very much like a throwback to the days when you and I were up there doing that stuff. Like it was just, I don't know, the energy was just like it felt, I don't know, truer, if that makes sense. And I understand the desire to put your stamp on it. And you know, and Jonathan definitely did a very good job of making it his own, but it's like Victorian costumes and there's music, and it's like this, like the other stuff didn't, it enhanced the storytelling rather than getting in the way of the storytelling.
Right.
And
good.
So, yeah, so good work by a wonderful cast, an exceptional team of designers. You know, I'm gonna do this because I feel like he's kind of gotten short shrift in the reviews that I've seen. Big shout out to Arturo Camacho, who designed the projections. I feel like in some of the reviews, it's being lumped in with the lighting design, which is also excellent. Mm-hmm. Isaac Anderson did a great job. But I just wanted to make specific because there are a couple of like wow moments. And a lot of that comes from Arturo's work. So I just wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out.
It's funny you mention that because I had somebody say they thought it was the best use of projection since Mary Poppins.
Yes. You know, and it's one of those things where like they finally have someone in house who's like kind of collaborated with them enough where they're kind of in on the same page as far as that sort of creative language. And so I think it's just going to keep getting better. By all accounts, despite some 11th hour technical issues,
oh boy,
man, they really pulled off something great. Specifically, I'll mention Marley's entrance. Marley, played by the lovely and talented Laura Hodos, and Christmas Presents entrance, played by George Loring. Just a couple of real, I mean, just some great. It was just like I just had such a wonderful time.
Good,
know, and I think a lot of other people are too. So I hope if you haven't seen it, please get out and see it. And if you have seen it, well, gosh darn it, go see it again.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. We'll see it this weekend. Well, we thought with the dearth of movies today and you being on the road that instead we would do what's kind of been a tradition here, and that's to talk about Christmas films.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you don't want to get too far into the season because, you know, like I know people are already starting to watch them.
Yeah.
So like why not have a little chat about some of the you know, some of the best and brightest in the Christmas canon.
I was saying the other night I didn't plan on watching it until Christmas Eve, Christmas Day when they do the marathon, but Christmas Story was on and I sat there and watched it for, I don't know, the 30th time or whatever it's been.
Oh, yeah, it's one of those movies where, you know, you're flipping through the channels and it's just like you see it on the little channel guide and you're like, oh, I wonder where we're at in the movie.
Right, right.
And then you click and it's like, oh man, like he's gonna, you know, we're almost to the dream sequence. Oh, the old man's gonna curse. Oh, the Bumpus' dogs are gonna, like, it's just like there are so many great like individual moments in that movie and you've seen it enough where you know where they all are, and it's like like there are maybe like four places in that movie where you can drop in and then and get out without getting sucked in. But otherwise, it's just like, well, we're halfway through. I guess I'm watching this movie for the next hour.
And it's like a number of what have become holiday classics are. It was not a big hit when it first came out, which is hard to believe.
You know, it's funny. And I feel like Hollywood has always kind of struggled with that.
It's a Wonderful Life was not a big hit out of the box.
You know, I mean, I feel like Miracle on 34th Street, same kind of deal. It's just for whatever reason, you know, it's hard because there is such a limited window for theatrical releases of these movies. And if you are outside that window, it's not going to necessarily go well for you. Like I look at something the I mean, very stupid, but still perfectly entertaining Red One that I watched.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, it's like, we're still 3 weeks out from Christmas. That movie has vanished.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, and they spent like $300 million on that thing. And it's just like, and it's just sort of dropped off. And again, like, it's facing some pretty stiff competition. But you always face stiff competition. This is where the studios backload with their big ticket films and their awards movies.
Right.
And so it's like, anything that doesn't fit neatly in either of those very much gets pushed out.
I saw a poll earlier today. I've obviously done recently, and I guess it makes sense, but poll respondents picked Home Alone as their favorite Christmas film.
I get it. I do.
I do too, and I forget that it's a Christmas film.
Right. And it's a very good movie.
Oh yes.
Talk about exceptions. That movie was wildly successful at the box office. But, like, did it come out at Christmas? I don't believe that it did.
I don't think it did.
I don't believe that it did. I think it was probably still on screens come Christmas because, again, it was, I think, one of the last in that sort of era of Hollywood where movies just stayed in theaters for 6, 7, 8 months.
Right.
And that's how they developed such big box office halls in the days before, you know, $20 tickets.
It was released November 16th.
Okay, so closer than I thought, yep. But still, like, but you know, it's one of those things. It's really funny to think about, like, you know, people going to see that in the theaters in like March of the next year,
right?
Because it was still running and still like at the top of the box office. So.
Maybe that's sort of a unique brand of holiday film that, yeah, it's tied to Christmas, but you can watch it anytime and it's still enjoyable.
Right. It's a comedy first and a Christmas movie second.
Right.
Which I find is in a lot of cases is what I find. Those are the Christmas movies. And, you know, you can throw air quotes around Christmas if you want, because I'm going to start naming some movies that people are going to want to fight about. But like, I delight in the idea of Die Hard as an action movie, as a Christmas movie.
Sure.
You know, Gremlins as a Christmas movie, featuring Phoebe Cates delivering maybe the bleakest, like, Santa related monologue in the history of film. I'm not going to spoil it, because if you know, you know. And if you don't, I'm not going to be the one who does that to you. But I just love the idea of Christmas being so ubiquitous that you can sort of just fold these other like genre types around it. And it works. You know, something like Die Hard, Gremlins, and then you get into the sort of kitschier, like, you know, maybe more B movie type stuff. I'm always gonna have a special place in my heart for the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies, which are, again, they're ludicrous and so dumb, but it's just the idea of a Christmas horror movie is just, there's something delightful about it.
Yes,
and, but again. Like, you can't go full horror. Like, you've got to be aware of what you're doing.
Right.
Because otherwise you get into a place where it's just not going to be, it's not going to be a pleasant experience for anybody. If you go full like A24 on Santa Claus, like, it's just like, it's
Now, did you like Krampus?
You know, I did. But again, that's another one where it's like, there's that dark comic edge to it. Particularly when you, like, I honestly, and it's funny because I love his work. Other than Severance and maybe Parks and Rec, I don't know that Adam Scott's ever been better than he is in Krampus,
yeah.
Which is weird because I don't know how many people actually saw that movie, but like, but again, it's just, it's about finding those bits of the season to help enhance, sort of the overall experience. And again, like, I'm fine with full on, like, Christmas type movies, like we mentioned, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, do you remember that stretch in the 80s when they tried to make those the Christmas movie kind of come back? The big one for me is always going to be like, does anyone remember Santa Claus the Movie?
Yes. Oh, it was awful.
Which was terrible.
Jingle All the Way.
And I say this as a bit of a Schwarzenegger connoisseur. Arnie, you, man, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, you could have done better.
Well, I was thinking that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would say the only new Christmas film to enter the canon in the last 25 or 30 years is probably Elf.
Elf is, but again, that's a movie, again, very much a Christmas movie,
mm-hmm.
but you also have centered, an actor, a performer, who was kind of at the peak of his powers. Like, that was Will Ferrell at his full, like, at his anarchic best, you know. And he's gone on to make some wonderful things. And but I mean, a lot of that energy, I think, springs from his portrayal of Buddy the Elf.
Yeah.
But again, yes, I agree. I don't know that anything else has really sort of risen to that level. I mean, if you want to make an argument for, like, I don't know, like something like Love Actually.
I
get it, but you know, and it's one of those things where I will freely admit my feelings about Love Actually have vacillated wildly over the years.
Me too.
Like,
me too.
When I first saw it, I'm like, oh, like I like this is like wow, this is fun. I love the interconnecting storylines. This is all very funny, and you know, as time passed, you know, you'd watch it again, and you're like, oh. There's a lot about this. This is kind of problematic.
Yes, yes.
You know, and then you sort of, and then the, you know, the pendulum swings back, and you're like, you know, but it's just a movie, and mm-hmm. like, you know, it was a product of its time, and then back and forth. I don't even know where I stand on it now. I haven't watched the movie in a number of years.
No, but, same here.
But again, I know people who adore it.
Oh yes.
You know,
one in my house.
Sure. And again, like I said, I totally get it because we're talking about a stacked cast. Everyone's clearly having a good time. And, you know, you put those two things together with, again, the holiday season, and of course there are people who are going to dig it.
Now, do you go back and revisit some of the classics?
Like, sometimes. Like, there are relatively few that I will, like, actively seek out. You know, there are a couple of variations on... like, again, we mentioned Christmas Carol earlier. Like, I love that story. I've always loved that story. And there are a number of versions of that story out there that I really love.
I love the Alistair Sim 1951, my money, the best version. But I love Scrooged.
Scrooged is a phenomenal movie. I'm also a big lover of a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because I will never not be amused by... just imagining what it must have been like on set for Michael Caine.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, just like, because that dude is a consummate pro, but he's also the dude who did Jaws 4 to buy a house for his mom. So right, it's like, right. This is a guy who gets it, and he's like, he's a great Scrooge.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and there have been a couple of efforts to sort of recapture that energy. You know, was it last year or the year before? It was a relatively recent movie. But there's actually the movie Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell is actually low-key pretty good.
I enjoyed that. That was very good.
You know, like anytime you're going to sort of introduce like original music and again, this is important, your actors actually sing.
Yeah. The music was pretty good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And but again, it's not a movie that's necessarily going to, like, as we said, enter the canon.
Right.
I'm usually good for a couple of Christmas carols. I was out on, you know, this is a good one. I was out on Jim Carrey's Grinch for a long time.
I'm still there.
No, and I get it, but like I've sort of, like, upon revisiting, it's just like there are little bits where you're just sort of struck by, it's like, oh, no, he just, no, it's that's not prosthetics. Like, he can actually make his face do that, you know? So you see those bits. I don't know if you saw the one from a few years back with the animated full length movie with Cumberbatch as the Grinch.
Yes, that was pretty good.
Pretty good too.
Yep.
Again, but like, the Grinch is such an iconic character. And again, like, for, there are a significant number of, again, younger people, but Jim Carrey is their Grinch.
Oh yeah,
which is wild. It's wild to think about because, like, I mean, for you and me, it's like
Boris Karloff, baby.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like that's
you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
That's our guy, you know, and like that's the Grinch we sort of know and love. And so it's interesting to see like how different generations engage with not only these iconic characters, but like the idea of the Christmas movie in general. Because like I know there are like, you know, the generation after mine, like there are people who will swear up and down that the best Christmas movie is The Polar Express.
Which I that was something freaky about that movie. I didn't like it all that much.
Well, it's
and I love the book.
Yeah, I think I think it's because, you know, we didn't grow up with the Uncanny Valley in the same way that that a lot of you know, subsequent generations did.
Right.
And so it's not necessarily as off-putting to them as it is to us. But yeah, like, I mean, I know people like people love that movie, and it's just like, and I've never understood it. It just does not work
well,
for me.
It's, to me, it's the same thing. I was saying it earlier. Any of the Tim Allen Santa Claus movies.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No, thanks.
I just, like, I will say like the, like I enjoyed the first one. Like I think I was a senior in high school when that one came out. Like I was getting to the age where I was too cool for Christmas movies, but like I enjoyed that one okay. Like conceptually, I think it's a good idea. And then you get 2 and 3, and then a long descent into madness by Tim Allen. I've not even broached the idea of even considering watching that the TV show.
I heard them. Someone told me that today, and I didn't know about it until then.
I knew it existed, but like I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm good. Like I don't need to hear Santa complaining about how the elves are too woke or whatever they're trying to do. So
I got a couple oldies that I always like to check out. Christmas in Connecticut. And I love Going My Way with Bing Crosby.
Sure.
That's a great one. But I stumbled on one a couple of years ago, and now it's in my holiday must-watch list. And I don't know, you might only be able to find it on YouTube, but have you ever seen Rod Serling's Christmas movie, Carol for Another Christmas?
No, I have not.
It's his version, his modernized 1964 version of A Christmas Carol that was also a plea for global cooperation.
That sounds like Rod Serling.
It was great. And listen to the cast. Britt Eklund, Ben Gazzara, Sterling Hayden, Pat Hingle, Steve Lawrence, Eva Marie Saint, Robert Shaw, and Peter Sellers.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Stat.
If you can find it online, it's great. It was directed by Joseph L. Mankiewicz, and it was Sellers' first performance after nearly dying of a heart attack.
Oh, good Lord.
But it's dark, but it's Serling. If you like Serling and Christmas, it's a great combo.
Well, but I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I mean, at its core, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story.
Right.
You know,
right.
And like, who better to bring that to life than someone like Rod Serling?
Yeah.
But I would be remiss. This is very high up there for me. We haven't mentioned it yet. Christmas Vacation.
Yes, love Christmas Vacation.
You know, despite the fact that yes, and we all have that cousin who quotes it too much.
Yep.
Says like it's just like a lot of Cousin Eddie being regurgitated at you. Don't let that spoil it for you. It remains an absolute classic of the genre. Funniest Christmas movie?
I think so.
I mean, it's
yeah.
got to be in the conversation anyway,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You know, and then you start you can start wandering a little farther afield. Like, I view it more as a Halloween movie, but Nightmare Before Christmas has its fans.
Yes,
for sure.
I like that a lot. Joe from Orno mentioned this one. It's also a favorite of Carrie Haskell's, A Wish for Wings That Work.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I saw like Carrie had posted on social media. I think just a few days ago that he was sitting down to watch it. But yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. And I don't know what it is about the holiday that just inspires so much, you know, so much of this kind of cultural content, but I mean, here we are. Like, it's just and you know, and now there's a whole cottage industry built around just churning out just rehashed versions of the same three plot lines,
right.
You know, and basically like Hallmark has basically like carved out a niche on the, you know, the Christmas corner, and I don't Do they even make other movies now? Like,
I don't know.
Why would you even bother?
And I will say, I never paid any attention to those. But when friend of downtown, Stephen Tobolowsky, did one, I said, all right, I've got to watch this. And it was actually pretty good.
Well, that's the thing. It's like they
know their audience.
Yes, they know their audience. What is it? Broken clocks, blind squirrels. Like,
yep.
When you're throwing that much against the wall, something's gonna stick,
right?
And then of course you have Netflix trying to sort of horn in on that with a slightly higher end collection. There was that bizarre like Kurt Russell as Santa Christmas Chronicles movie,
yes.
which was strange. We've discussed Hot Frosty on these airwaves, which is funny it's sort of become a thing.
Yeah,
Hot Frosty, understandably so, because again, like, really, everyone just needs to know when the end credits roll, what'd she do to that snowman? I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
But no matter what kind of movie you like, there is a Christmas movie that will fit. And I don't think that's true of really any, I was going to say any other holiday. I'm not sure that that's true of anything else, like, in our broader culture.
Right.
You know, as far as, like, sort of cinematic subjects go, like, you're just not going to find, movies that sort of, that all coalesce around that sort of singular thing.
Even Harold and Kumar did a Christmas movie.
Right. And hey, man, there's a significant Christmas scene in literally every Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right. It's like, it is omnipresent and there's plenty of good, there's plenty of bad. Ultimately, when talking about Christmas movies, even the bad ones are pretty good.
Yeah. And if you like it, great. Enjoy it. Embrace it. It's part of your holiday tradition.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Listen, don't be gone on a Monday between now and the end of the month, because I don't know what would happen.
Yes. No, I have every intent of turning up the next 3 weeks.
Excellent.
With bells on and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I look forward to it. Thanks, yes, Alan. Sir. Alan Adams talking movies. It's Past the Popcorn here on Downtown.